episode of What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. Our show, as you know, focuses on the workplace and workforce trends, and this is one of the special edition episodes that we've launched in an effort to work with small business across the area to help them stay alive in this time of crisis. My goal is to find experts that you need to hear from that will give you the information to help you make the decisions you need to either survive and, let's hope, thrive in this time of crisis, though it's hard to find those people that are in fact thriving. So I've gathered some information, some guests, some unique points of view, and my goal is to get them to give you very specific things to do and say that will help your business. One of the things that you can get from me if you want this thing is the show notes. Every afternoon at 1:50, as I sum up the show, I'm going to give you a sense of what I think the most important things discussed on the show were. And those will be typed up and sent to you if you want a copy. The number to text to is 44222. I'll say it again, 44222. Send What's Working, no apostrophes, all one word, to 44222, and you will automatically get those show notes in your inbox. Let me tell you what we got. Well, first I want to recap what I think was a great conversation last night on the traditional What's Working show. Airs at 6 p.m. on Wednesdays. We had Dr. Jeremiah Newell on the show. He's with Excel Academy in Mobile. It's called Excel Day and Evening Academy. They are the first public charter school in the state of Alabama. And he wanted me to remind everybody that if you fit the profile for this school, and you can go online and hear that, if you go to cammarston.com, you'll find the podcast link there, and you can hear Dr. Newell talk about the profile of the student that thrives in his school. If you feel like you are one of those students, or you have a child, a cousin, whatever it may be, that would fit the profile of that student, they are taking applications. And they are going from grades 9 through 12 to grades 6 through 12 beginning in the fall of this year. It was a great conversation. He is a guy that makes each of us proud. He went through Harvard. He has a great background. And he came right back home to take care of his community. And we got to love him for it. On the show today, here's what you're going to get. Stephanie Constantine has been a friend of the show in the past, and she and I talked last week about the challenges of going from managing a workforce in which you are present with them, sharing the office space with them, to now, as many of you I know are doing, managing a remote workforce. We're going to lead off with Stephanie. She's going to give us some tips and tricks and ideas on transitioning to managing a remote workforce. She also will have her show notes available to us, numerated. You'll get those at the end of the show. I'll recap them again at 1:50, and you'll be able to get a copy of those by following the text rules that I mentioned and will mention again. After Stephanie, I'm going to have Sabrina Alexander. Sabrina owns a PR company here in town and is going to give us some crisis communication tips. And it's going to include not only how to speak to customers in times of crisis, but how to speak perhaps to your own team. If you were listening to Sean and me a moment ago, we were talking about some of the organizations locally that I know that are furloughing employees. And there's a way to go about delivering bad news to a group like this, to a group of stakeholders, and Sabrina perhaps will get into some of that, as well as, just importantly, and perhaps even more importantly, how to communicate with your customers. The last segment of the show is the inspirational segment, and I'm pulling in a friend of buddy of mine, and I'm asking him to go all in with all his energy. This is Rashiki Carlos Leatherwood, perhaps one of the greatest names in the world. He is a very powerful trainer, motivator in our community. And he posted some things the other day on hope. And I read that post and I reached out to him and say, I want you on this show at the 150 mark-ish, and I want you to bring it all. And if you want to stick around for something powerful, listen to Rashiki later in the show. Finally, yesterday I filled out my paperwork for the CARES Act and getting ready to see how I can apply for the money for my small business. Next week, on Tuesday, we're going to have somebody in here talking exclusively about that. And at the same time, I'll be making an announcement of a great new presenting sponsor for our show who saw an opportunity to help small business and they stepped up quickly. All that coming up, as well as your calls, when we come back from break with Stephanie Constantine. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. This may be a little too far out to mention, but on Wednesday, April the 8th, we're going to have Adam Chronister, who's the CEO of Peladent, a software company based here in Mobile, on the traditional 6 p.m. What's Working with Cam Marston. Put that on your calendar. Adam has a fantastic story to tell. Right now, though, on the line, Stephanie Constantine. Stephanie is the owner of Constantine Human Resource Consulting here in Mobile. She's served as an aide to this show many different times, and as soon as this topic came up, which was emailed to me, Cam helped me understand how to manage remotely. My first flinch was I got to get Stephanie back on the phone. Stephanie, thank you for your time. Welcome back to What's Working.
Thank you, Cam.
So here it is. I'm a manager. I'm a leader of the workplace. I've got a team of 4 to 50 that work for me in an environment where we're all together. And I've gotten, let's say, pretty good at dealing with these people and dealing with the conflicts and being able to motivate and inspire and all the things that management and leadership should do. But suddenly the COVID-19 hits, and our best and most logical thing to do is send people home and ask them to work from home. Yet I, as the manager, am still accountable to their productivity. Tell me, lead me through the thinking of any of the managers, leaders listening right now of how to become an effective remote leader or manager.
Okay, sure. Well, I'm going to just make it as easy as possible and just say this is either going to be a really, really easy transition for managers, or it's going to be a really, really difficult one for them. And it's all going to depend on their management style. It's pretty obvious that if you are a manager who likes to be on top of everything your employees are doing on a daily basis, this is probably going to cause you some heartburn and some issues until you can get used to it. Those employees or those managers who, you know, are pretty confident in what their employees are doing on a daily basis and don't really need to get into the weeds with them and be on top of them, you know, the ones that don't have to be micromanagers, they're not going to have a difficult time with this. So you got to decide whether you're going to be able to let go of some of your micromanaging and let go of always being in the know of everything going on a daily basis. If you can do that, then this transition is going to be a lot easier for you.
Well, let's say, Stephanie, that you're sitting down with one of these micromanagers. You're in their presence. This is prior to the crisis. Micromanaging has never been a really effective or applauded way to lead people. If you were sitting down with them right now, again, regardless of the crisis, and we're trying to convince them to let go and turn authority over to their people, what are the steps that these people need to take? Now that they're in their home, they've got to take these steps. In the workplace, they have the option to become a better manager and take the steps. Now they've got to take them. What are those steps?
Right. Well, the first thing they need to do is sit down either on the phone with the employee or do video conferencing. We're going to talk a lot about that. But get with each employee individually and talk about your expectations. What do you expect of this employee? The same thing you should have been doing prior to being remotely working with them, but let them know what you expect of them, whether it be a daily expectation or a weekly expectation. Come up with a plan, and in that plan you need to include measurable goals and outcomes. How are you as a manager going to feel confident at the end of the day that this employee is doing what you expect them to do? And the only way that employee is going to know that is if you give them the expectations. And then you need to also talk about your realistic working hours and working expectations. Honestly, every employee is not going to be able to give you 8 hours a day from home. It's just not realistic if you have children or other distractions that are going to be happening at home. So you may come to an agreement that you're going to only get 5 or 6 hours from an employee working remotely, and that's okay. You don't have to promise any employee that you're going to pay them 8 hours a day. So come up with those realistic hours together. Then give the employee the resources. Make sure that they have the resources that they need to be successful. So you need to make sure that they have the technology, the software, the supplies, and even things that you may not have thought of before, but headphones for working on a computer. I can tell you from personal experience working from home, I've always done it, but I didn't have my husband working from home in the past, and now he is. I have two college children, both taking online courses from home, and we're fighting over space and quiet areas, and headphones can be a blessing. So, you know, make sure that your staff have the things they need to be successful working from home.
Interestingly enough, I was at Best Buy, let's say 10 days ago, and they were out of computer monitors. They said there was a surge of people all of a sudden moving to the work from home environment, and the computer monitors just vanished. And yeah. I would suspect we weren't looking for headphones, but I would suspect they saw a run on headphones as well.
Yeah, true. And you know, Cam, this isn't going to end when this virus ends. We're going to find that working from home is going to be an option that is going to be more prevalent, and it's good. I think it's good that we're moving in this direction. So we'll see what comes of the future. But with that in mind, video conferencing obviously has become a way of life, and it's great. I've enjoyed it, actually. I can catch up with my clients and other things that aren't work related. Keeping connected and being able to see people makes you feel like you're still at work and you're being held accountable. So from a manager's standpoint, I would suggest Monday morning have a conference video chat with all of your employees. You know, just check in with them, see how they're doing.
Are you talking about all at the same time? Stephanie, are you talking about a Monday morning having a video conference all at the same time or one at a time with them?
I would say with the whole group, if you can, get everybody together just to, hey, how's everybody's weekend? What do we have going on? Just to, again, to keep everybody in the loop of what's going on with the company. But you can also have one-on-one conferencing. You can do that every day if you want, just to check in with each employee. And, you know, nothing is stopping you from having the same conversations that you had with your employees in person, just doing it online now. And you don't have to get face-to-face every time. You can just get on the telephone. But there's something about having that camaraderie still where you can see each other and make sure that, you know, they're all still with you. They're all still participating in what you need them to be doing. The end of the week check-in is good with all employees, and I even suggest at the end of the week, you know, have some kind of social gathering where you're not necessarily talking about work, but bring everybody together as if they're kind of at the water cooler at the end of the week, and let everybody just kind of talk and get out what their emotions are, because this is a difficult time for everybody. And I think that they need just to keep in touch.
I remember, Stephanie, I want to remember to you, and you may be familiar with this study, the Google study on Teams that they did, and they spent a quadrillion dollars trying to figure out what the recipe was for the best team. And they studied personality styles. They studied age. They studied a mixture of personality styles and age and genders and so many different variables. But what they came down to was that the most productive teams, according to this Google study, were led by individuals who arrived to meetings early and sat down in the meeting room early and talked to people as they came in about their weekend and what's going on and their 10K efforts or stuff like that. It had nothing to do with personality styles, type of work assigned, anything like that. It was about the interest and the availability of the person that led the team, usually summarized or captured in them arriving in the meeting rooms early as the team filed in. Could you comment on that in this current work from home situation?
Well, sure. I mean, you just, again, you want them to feel as attached, not just to the company, but to each other during this time. Because I think we're all feeling dislocated right now. So to be honest, personally, you need to get away from your family a little bit. So reaching out to your coworkers and getting to a feel about what's happening in their lives and understanding what they're going through, just as if you were at work. It helps individuals, but it also helps your manager or the person in charge just get that sense of what everybody's going through. And, getting, like you said, getting to know their feelings a little bit better outside of just the workplace.
Let's flip the coin a little bit, Stephanie. Let's assume there are groups of people listening who are also on the other side, who are not in management and leadership positions, who've been sent home to work from home. What do they need to think about this?
Well, I think a lot of people are kind of enjoying it, to be honest. It's interesting, the ones I've talked to who are doing it for the first time, but it can be quite difficult if you're not used to it. So I suggest, number one is treat your work day as a work day. That means you got to set your alarm clock, get up in the morning like you normally would, set aside a workplace that is comfortable, that's quiet, as free from distractions as possible, and set yourself a checklist of things that you're supposed to get done for the day, because sometimes it's really easy to get led astray during the day and find yourself doing things that aren't necessarily work-related because you can. And if you don't really focus on your tasks and what need to be done in the day, and you don't hold yourself accountable, it's really easy to lose sight of that and not get your work done. So make sure that you are just, think about getting that, making sure you're getting that expectation done from your boss. And I've also thought about this. Some people say, well, it's hard for me to do work from home that I normally do at work. I'm kind of running out of things to do. Well, this is a great time to get those things done that you've put off at work because you've said, oh, I'm too busy, I can't get around to it. You may find that you don't have as many distractions working from home as you did at work with other people being around. So, maybe it's a time that you check on those old projects, follow up on them, start new projects that you didn't have time to do before, research more opportunities for your company, or even just check in with your clients. I noticed that the Chamber of Commerce was making calls the other day, just checking in with all of their members just to see how they're doing. And that's a great idea for companies, just to give you something to do, give your clients some comfort knowing that you care and you're thinking about them. So there's plenty of things you can do to keep yourself busy if you kind of get in a point where you run out of things to do working at home.
Stephanie, I've been a part of several conference calls over the last 2 to 3 weeks when all of our work environments have changed, and not one of them was absent a child in the background or a dog barking. And there's always been a theme of a dog barking in conference calls, but never as regular as now. It seems like, and I say this myself, I tell everybody when I begin a conference call from my home office, folks, I got 4 kids living at home. You may hear stuff in the background. I've asked them to be quiet, but I can't tell that to the dog. The dog has no idea what that means. So I kind of make a light of it, entering into the conference call, and everybody seems to be able to relate to that. Do you have any advice on the distractions in the workplace that could be children, that could be barking dogs?
Well, that's funny. I'd be kind of hypocritical right now if I said so, because I just did the same thing you just said before starting this conversation. I had to go round up my children and my dog and say, take outside, go outside until I get finished. Preparation obviously is key, is a big key, but there's going to be distractions. There's no way there's not. My phone was just ringing. Y'all probably all heard it. My other line was beeping. There's no way you can account for everything, but you do want to try to have that plan in place. There are things that you can prepare for. Things you can't prepare for sometimes, Wi-Fi issues. That's something that you may not ever think of. You take for granted, but you lose your Wi-Fi for the day and you're going to be in trouble if you're working online. So, have a backup plan. Do your best to be prepared in those situations.
So the last thing I said, you sent me a kind of a list of items here that you wanted to touch on. And there's one that stands out. I got two questions for you in the short time we have remaining. One is take a break. And two, is it right to expect the same level of productivity?
Yeah, definitely take a break. Just like you would if you were at work. I think not with the added pressure right now of you're working at home, but also you're somewhat quarantined at home or told to stay home. It's great to get outside and take a break, take a walk, work outside if you can. That's a fabulous benefit to being able to work at home if you can set up a nice, quiet place outside.
Let's talk quickly about the productivity because we're running right up against break. Should we expect the same productivity? Is it a 10% decrease?
No, I think you do expect the same productivity because I do think that it's possible when you're working at home to actually do more than you do in the regular work day.
Stephanie, how can people get in touch with you? And we're going to send this list to them. How can they get in touch with you?
My phone number is 251-508-3883. Or you can go to ConstantineHRC.com.
ConstantineHRC.com. This is Stephanie Constantine, owner of Constantine Human Resource Consulting. Stephanie, thank you very, very much. This is great.
Thank you, Cam.
We'll be back after this break. Stephanie Constantine, Stephanie, dropped some gems on us. She's going to send us a summary of her ideas. If you're interested in that summary, text What's Working, no capitals, no apostrophes, all one word, to 44222. We'll send you that list, and we'll add to that list the list we're about to get from Sabrina Alexander. Sabrina is a 12 years of experience in strategic communications. She started her own business in 2014. Today, she runs a company called Proxy PR, which I work with, and I'm very pleased with the work that they've done for me. Sabrina, thank you for your time. Welcome to What's Working. Sabrina?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Welcome to What's Working. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, so a lot of people are in a, as you know, an awkward way right now and communicating with customers. Now, I got Stephanie mentioned it in her segment, but I also got a call from the Mobile Chamber just checking in and I know a lot of businesses are doing that right now. Give me an overview from your expert point of view in public relations of how organizations, companies need to be communicating with customers in this time of crisis. And then we'll get into employee communications.
Sure. So if they need to communicate to external audiences like their clients or their vendors or their stakeholders, that visit their businesses, you know, it's real important to make sure that they are transparent and communicating very clearly what the steps they're doing to take to protect their employees and their visitors to their office. You know, many businesses are obviously having to follow the closure recommendations from the states, so that has really taken a lot of the decisions out of their hands, of course, and so they're constantly, really almost by the hour, having to update their communication pieces. So it's very important they stay clear in what they're communicating.
So you're an advocate of transparency in all communications to customers as well as employees. Is there a litmus test an organization or, let's say, a manager, a leader, a small business can put themselves through to determine if what they're planning to communicate is indeed the transparency that they need?
Well,
is this true? Is this helpful? Is it a methodology of that? Is what I'm saying true? Is what I'm saying helpful? If they, you know, let's say they had somebody in their workplace that later caught the COVID-19 disease, but while they were in there were showing no signs of illness, do they need to present that type of stuff? I mean, I guess how in depth does an organization need to be in communicating their transparency?
Oh, absolutely. They need to communicate very clearly and explain the steps that they're taking to protect those employees that may have been exposed and to keep them safe. And then they've got to show that they are being vigilant and carrying out what they promised and keeping in their process for keeping the area clean and safe. And but they also have to be careful not disclosing, you know, protected health information about their employees.
Yeah, yeah, there's always that. I didn't consider that. What about the organizations that are reaching out to customers right now? And like the call that I had the other day, Cam, is there anything you need? Yeah, I need money and I need customers and I need everything to return to normal. Can you help me with either of those? Nope, sorry, we can't. Well, thanks for your call. What is the motive for reaching out and calling customers right now and asking, you know, what do you say to them? What do they need to hear? I guess is what I'm asking. What do those customers need to hear from you?
Well, no matter what, they need to show that they empathize, of course, with their scenario, whether it's an employee or one of their customers or vendors that are also going through these hard times right now. This is not in our, you know, the scenario for this virus, this global pandemic, was not in our communication plans in many circumstances. So, you know, I think it's ideal for businesses not to, this isn't the time for any hard sell marketing messages, you know, unless the business is specifically offering relevant products or services for the coronavirus. I think that's really important.
What point, comedians have a remarkable gift for talking about things that are normally very sensitive or delicate and making us laugh at them. You know, it's an art and it's a beautiful thing to crack an appropriate joke at a funeral, and it just relieves the tension. When are we going to be able to smile about all this? When can a business be able to put a little grin on their approach to their customers? Is it still too soon?
I do think it's still a little too soon. You know, I think if a business is running digital ads right now, or they need to turn off any pre-scheduled social media posts, and you put all of that on hold right now and really, really let the news feeds of their followers really be open to, you know, relevant news. You can participate if you have safety tips and things that you need to communicate to your stakeholders and your audiences using your social media channels and your website. But non-related virus information, it just seems kind of tone deaf right now. So I just don't think that is where businesses need to be spending their time right now. There'll be a time, hopefully sooner rather than later, but there'll be a time for that stuff to come back.
Let's turn the focus internal into an organization. You may have heard my opening comments when I'm aware of about 500 people this week that are being furloughed through a couple of organizations where I know some individuals. And it's a tough message to tell. It's awkward and it's uncomfortable and it's sad, frankly. Tell me your advice for having to have these delicate conversations with employees about this time.
Right. So you know, these businesses having to close, you know, because of shelter in place mandates in states across the country, you know, these small businesses are really having to face some really, really hard realities. Can they afford to pay their staff until they're allowed to reopen their doors? It was really, really hard. It's heart-wrenching for a lot of the business owners and a lot of my clients as I've talked to them, you know, in the last few weeks. It's really hard. Luckily, the newly passed CARES Act contains, you know, a provision that allows businesses to take out loans to cover payroll and may be converted to a grant. So that, as for me as a business owner, it was just, you know, really helpful and really made me, some of my anxiety level come down a little bit, you know.
Sure, me too.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but if I'm one of these employers that has to furlough employees or has made the decision to lay people off, what is your advice to them on breaking this news? You know, the employees know today about this protection plan. They're yet if I'm still choosing to furlough and lay people off, it seems to me they could get sideways with me about this. There is an out for you, employer, but you're choosing instead to send me to the unemployment line. How do I, as an employer, deliver the message that's fair, that reveals the decision-making? Is it, again, a message of transparency? Do I be very cold and transparent or warm and transparent? Or what's the advice?
Right. Well, obviously, you need to create a plan that works for your company and your business, and then be open and honest and transparent to your employees about why you're having to make this decision. You know, I think it's, you know, if you find that there's really no alternative to a furlough. You could, you know, consider sharing the financial impact the virus is going to have on your business over the next few months. And sharing, you know, maybe even anticipated sales numbers with your staff will help put things into context for them and make them feel, you know, a little better, or that you've clearly communicated what this, you know, the decision behind a furlough.
Is this
not caused by mismanagement of the company or underperformance from the employees? You know, it's really a, has to do with strictly the virus. And the results it's going to have on the business.
Yes, that it's completely out of the business's control. I'm curious if this is a one-on-one conversation, or is this one to many?
I think it's one to many. You know, and then during furlough, I think individual communication instead of mass communication to them is important. You know, you want them to continue to feel connected to the company, and you want to keep checking in on them, and I think that's really important for morale. But I think once a decision is made at the very beginning, I think some mass communication is fine. So they're all getting the same message at the same time.
Let me take this to you, Sabrina, and what your days are like these days. You and I, similar small business owners, just a small handful of employees. What are the requests being made of your company these days? Who's making them? What are they asking? I'm very curious of how your demand has been impacted as a result of all of this.
Well, you know, a lot of businesses, if, you know, if a small business has a communication plan in place, that's fantastic. They're already ahead of the game. Unfortunately, you know, many did not have a global pandemic in this battle plan, communication plan. So we've been helping our clients, you know, walk through the process of keeping their tone, because we understand their message and brand voice. And so we can help them maintain that during this crisis, and how they're communicating to their employees internally and then externally.
So it seems to me, Sabrina, that there are people out there that have, there's two schools of thought on this whole pandemic thing. And oddly enough, I saw some data that your school of thought will closely reflect what you watch on television, and whether that shapes your school of thought or you've develop your school of thought and then choose what to watch, I don't know. But there are some that say we have overreacted, and there are others that say we haven't reacted strongly enough. So if I'm posting to social media, which seems to be the go-to right now, do you encourage people to take a position on this? Or are you just agnostic in saying, hey, this is what it is, regardless of what you think, this is what it is, and here's how we're reacting. Do you encourage people to opine on what we're doing right now as an organization, not individually, but as an organization?
I think individually that is up to you and your, you know, followers, but I think as a business, it's important to try and stay out of that and only communicate what's relevant for your business, your employees, and your stakeholders and your clients.
I would think so. In small organizations like yours and mine, anything that you and I say personally also gets very much affiliated with our brand as well, and it's something I've had to be very careful of. I'm finding it easy to post a picture of a dog versus having any sort of opinion on these types of things, and I think that's the way for me for a while going forward. Sabrina, how do people get in touch with you if they want to learn more?
Well, our website address is proxypr.com. That's proxy with an I, not a Y. Or you can send an email to our whole team at hello@proxypr.com.
proxypr.com. This is Sabrina Alexander. She runs a Cracker Jack team of folks. I can vouch for them myself. I use them for a lot of my work. When we come back, we're going to summarize Sabrina's comments as well as Stephanie's, and we'll hear from Rashiki Leatherwood. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. Closing out what I hope was another fruitful show for everybody today. Let's recap some of the best points made. We first started with Stephanie Constantine. I'll get this right. Constantine. Number one, be on top of everything. If you're the type of manager that wants to be on top of everything, you're going to freak out. You got to learn to let it go. And second, there are a bunch of them, but I'm highlighting my favorites. Second, be very clear of the expectations of each employee. Be very clear. Give them a daily or a weekly plan. And there's no reason to suspect that productivity will decrease. In fact, there are signs that productivity increases when you add flexibility to the workplace, like working from home. If you're an employee that is now working from home, make it a normal work day. Find a regular workspace. Go to it every day. Do not treat this as vacation and you're checking in. This is now work, and make it a part of every work day. Focus on the tasks that you've been given and be careful of the distractions that can sidetrack you along the way. Kids, dogs, internet problems. Sabrina Alexander with the public relations. Be very transparent. You got to protect employees. You got to protect your customers. Be very transparent in what you're trying to do in that regard. And if you have to deliver bad news, the initial bad news should be delivered one to many to the group. And then, if you can, show them the data, the information that is causing you to have to make this decision. And once the bad news has been delivered, follow up with each person individually. Talk to them how they're doing. Wish them well, whatever is appropriate, but individual conversation after delivering the bad news. When we started the show, I decided to end each show with an uplifting, inspirational, motivational, perhaps kick-in-the-pants message. And there's nobody better on planet Earth to deliver that because he's given it to me many, many times. Rashiki Carlos Leatherwood is on the line. Rashiki, thank you for your time. Welcome to back to What's Working.
Thank you for asking me back again, Cam.
So, Rashiki, you've given a lot of us that work with you in the gym some inspirational time. Often it's in raised tones, but this time I want you to tell us the meaning of hope. You posted some remarkable things. I want you to tee off on that and let everybody hear your thoughts on that. It's powerful.
Okay, Cam. Many say, from the darkest hour comes the brightest light. And I'm here to remind each of you of the greatest light mankind has ever seen. This light has been the catalyst for every momentous occasion throughout the history of man, and has been a spark to every triumph mankind has ever achieved. That light is called hope. To many, hope is a fleeting illusion, a flawed ideology to the weak of heart, to the weak of mind. But hope is the weapon of choice to those who envision greater, those who will invoke change, those who dare to risk it all for a better tomorrow. This pandemic has birthed a fear in us that's unparalleled to any crisis I've witnessed in my short years. This fear has grown to a point that we've forgotten who we are and whose we are. But what is fear? Fear is forgetting every aspect of rationality. We are in intimate danger if we do not replace fear and inspire hope. Hope is when we hone others' positive energy and extract the good out of every bleak situation and manifest a change that will give the next generation a foundation of not just hope, but strength. Strength that there's nothing we can't overcome together. We did not choose to be here, but we do have a choice in how we let it affect us. Looking through the lens of my eyes, I see that this crisis has the ability to birth new life in numbers greater than the lives it will take. This crisis has reminded us that the greatest commodities in life are time and family. That in our quest for the American dream of riches and wealth, many have become spiritually poor and emotionally bankrupt. We spend more time chasing material things for our family than expressing unconditional love to our family. We will all be remembered how we deal with this crisis and grow from it, whether we succumb to fear or unify in hopes of a new day. I'm calling all Christians, Muslims, Buddhist, Hindu, Catholic, gay, straight, undecided, black, white, brown, and jaundiced, to lay down your swords of separation and live through the lens of love. The time is now to lay aside ideologies that has kept us divided for far too long. The choice is yours. Take hold of the hope I share with you for a stronger today, a stronger tomorrow, and a healthier world devoid of fear, devoid of hate, yet filled with the laughter and love of friendship and fellowship. That in doing our part, we can and we will restore life. So choose life with me, a life that's driven by the greatest catalyst imagined, a word called hope.
Rashiki, that was fantastic. That was fantastic. And if you can send me those comments, I promise you folks, I'll type them up. and I'll include them in the text. If you want to hear that, read that again. Read it every morning. Read it to your family. If you'll share that with me, Rashiki, I'd be proud to share it with anybody that requests it.
I will most definitely do that for you, Cam.
I appreciate it, my friend, and I hope to see you before too long. I know your business has been impacted, and I hope to be there before too long and get some of that motivation one-on-one. Folks, that's Rashiki Leatherwood. You'll get those words if you want them. If you send a text, just simply write "what's working" and send it to 44222. No apostrophes, no spaces. You'll automatically get that. You're going to have to give me some time to set all this up. But if you text that to me, I'll get it back to you. And let me remind you folks how to keep up with the show, what's going on. You can find us on Instagram, What's Working with Cam Marston. You can also search the Facebook's pages, What's Working with Cam Marston, where you can learn more about the show. Upcoming Wednesday guests. This coming Tuesday, I'm going to have the bankers on, and I'm not yet ready to announce who they are. Still working on that, to talk specifically about how to apply for some of that money. That's, let's face it, it's all our money anyway, but how to apply for it and bring it into your business. You can email me directly, cam@whatsworkingcam.com, and you can leave us a message, 251-260-8100. That's our phone/text line, and we look forward to it. We'll be back next Tuesday focusing on the CARES Act and what it means to you and me, and we'll have something prepared for you next Thursday as well. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. Do your best, folks, to have hope and a good weekend. We'll see you soon.